Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning for life, for your great love, for reaching out and saving our souls. Thank you for the precious, precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for that great, great sacrifice. Thank you for his death on the cross, that he is alive. And one day we will truly be in your presence, rejoicing and glorifying you. You are our God, and we gather to worship you. And we say that we love you. You are altogether lovely. You are magnificent, and we praise your name. In Christ's precious name, amen. Good morning. Pastor Mike wanted me to tell you that he will be back next week and that he gave us an assignment, and that is Galatians chapter 4. I guess he's going to be speaking on Galatians chapter 4. So our assignment, I guess, would be to read Galatians chapter 4 for next week. My name is Tony Pedroni, and I am on staff here, and we have been attending Reston Bible Church, my family and I, for 3 months now, and my extended family and friends quite often ask me, how do you like your new job, and how do you like the new church, and I shared from this pulpit 2 months ago, and I went back and I listened to what I said 2 months ago, and this is what I said. I said, it is good to be here. It is good to be a part of this body. And that was 2 months ago, and today things are a little different. I would say today that it is great to be here. And it is great to be a part of this body. We truly are blessed to serve and worship the Lord with you. And some would say that we're still in the honeymoon period. And I don't think so. And actually, I think honeymoons can last a lifetime. And as I shared last night, I've been married for almost 22 years, and I'm still on my honeymoon. And amen, huh? And when I said that last night, my wife was sitting in the back row, and she goes, no, I'm teasing about that. She didn't say that. But I'm not teasing about the honeymoon part. The last few years, I've worn a number of different hats, had a number of different job titles, and one of those hats, one of those job titles was missionary to Croatia. And then a little later on, another hat I wore was pioneer team leader to Croatia. And then now, the last 3 months, I'm wearing another hat, another job title, which is shepherd group pastor at Reston Bible Church. And I was thinking, even though that I've worn these different hats over the years, really, what God has called me to do, what God has called me to be involved in the general sense, hasn't changed at all. I mean, there are some dynamics that have changed. The location has changed. Sitting in traffic, that's changed. Dealing with different people, that's changed. But really, what God has called me to do, in the general sense, what God has called me to be involved in, hasn't changed at all. And I would say that that is true for you as well. That no matter what hat you're wearing, you may be a student, in college, a homemaker, or a business exec, or a government employee, no matter what hat you're wearing, I would say, in the general sense, your call, that which God wants you to be involved in, is the same for you and me. It's the same for all of us. And this morning, I want to take a look at that which God calls us to be involved in. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The first book in the New Testament, I think. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 16 to 20 of Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And I'm sure you have heard this passage spoken, preached about. If you've ever attended missions conferences, this is one of the popular verses that you hear at missions conferences, texts. And actually, it's what we label the Great Commission. And let's read Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, just as for a little background, this event takes place after the resurrection. Jesus has been crucified on the cross. He's been buried. 3 days later, he rises again. This takes place after his resurrection, but before he ascends to the Father. And between his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, there's 40 days where Jesus makes appearances on the earth. So this 40-day period, he makes a number of appearances. And when we get to Matthew 28, Jesus has already made a number of appearances. He has already, in this 40-day period, appeared to Mary Magdalene. He's already appeared to some other women. He's already appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He has already appeared to the 10 apostles were gathered. And doubting Thomas, you remember doubting Thomas, was not there. He already appeared to these 10 apostles. And then Thomas says, "I won't believe unless I touch his nail prints. Unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." Is this working right here? Okay. Yeah, I need a little wire. He's already made those appearances. And then he already appeared to the 11 disciples when Thomas was with them. And he comes up to Thomas, doubting Thomas, says, "Thomas, touch my hands, touch my side." And Thomas says, "My God, my Lord, my God, I believe." He's already made all those appearances, and now he makes this appearance. And 1 Corinthians talks about an appearance where Jesus appears to more than 500 brethren at one time. And I would venture to say that this is that appearance. It would make sense. We know at least that the 11 disciples are there. But it would make sense that this is that appearance to where there's more than 500. Not dogmatic, but it makes sense. It makes sense because it's not in Jerusalem. It's in Galilee on a mountain. There's some seclusion. So there could be this large gathering that would kind of go unnoticed by the rest of the population. And in verse 17, it says, "Some were doubtful." And that makes sense because these 11 have already witnessed and seen the resurrected Christ. So it would make sense that they're not doubting. And probably some of these 500 have not seen the resurrected Christ. So it makes sense that some of them are doubting, at least until Jesus comes up and speaks to them. So that's just a little background of Matthew 28. And then Jesus speaks to this group, either 11 or 500, doesn't really matter, but he speaks to these 500. And he gives what we call the Great Commission. And in this Great Commission, verses 18 to 20, he gives what I'll call a call to action. This call to action is in verse 19 in the first part of 20. Let's read this. In verse 19, Jesus says this. This is this call to action. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, this is this call to action. And in this call to action, there is one Greek imperative. There's one Greek command. There's only one command in what we just read, verse 19 to the first part of 20. There's one command that Jesus gives. And that command is not to go. It's not to baptize. It's not to teach. But the command that Jesus gives is make disciples. And actually, we're right here. Actually, what if we're looking at the Greek, it's what he's saying is this: going, baptizing, teaching, make disciples. And that's the command: make disciples. And what does disciple mean? A disciple, in the general sense, is a student, a learner. We have a teacher, we have a student, a learner. That's a disciple. But in the stricter sense, a disciple is a follower of Christ. In verse 16, the 11 disciples came. These 11 were not only students or learners from Jesus, but they were followers of Jesus. They were followers of Christ. And that's the sense of disciples. And Jesus' command is make disciples, make followers of me. And that's what he is commanding this group of 500. The Lord is not interested in professions of faith. He is not interested in someone raising their hand, coming to Christ, and then disappearing off the face of the earth, never to be seen again. God wants to see followers of him. A week ago, the senior high had a gathering, an outreach, and I went. My children went, and it was a neat evening. And at the end of the evening, Bob Shaw gives an invitation to accept Christ to these senior hires, and 12 senior hires raised their hand. 12 senior hires. Now know the living God, are born again, have just accepted Christ. And it was just a neat thing to be there and to see that and to be involved in that. But you know what? For these 12 senior hires, that's not the end game. That's not the goal. That's not what, that is in itself is not what the Lord intended the end game to be. That is the beginning of a new life for them walking with Christ, following Christ. The Lord's command is make followers. The Lord is interested in us walking with him, following him, bringing glory and honor to him, dealing with sin in our life, standing for righteousness, when trials come our way, to sit and to keep trusting him and to keep being faithful and to keep following him. That's what God is interested. He didn't save us to give us a ticket to heaven. That's not the reason why he saved us. Your sins are forgiven, Tony. Here's your ticket. I'll see you when you die. Go on and live the life you want to live. That's not why he saved me. He saved me to have a living relationship with him, to walk with him, to know him, to fall more in love with him, to follow him, to trust him, to bring him glory and honor. And that's his command is to these 500. Make followers. Make disciples. And I'm reminded of, in Croatia, Zlata. Zlata, married, husband, 3 kids. She comes to Christ. And she's born again. And she chooses to follow the Lord. And her family is against her. And her husband says, you can't read your Bible in the house. You're not allowed to have any Christian literature in the house. And she keeps following the Lord. She keeps coming to church. She keeps hanging out with the body, the group of believers. And then she has the boldness to say, I'm going to be baptized and take this step of baptism. I'm going to follow the Lord. Even though her family's all against her and her extended family. And then when and in the Croatian culture, baptism is huge. It's kind of like when you get, you know, people don't, they don't care if you attend a Baptist church or whatever church or what you say. But when you take that step of baptism, that's kind of like you've just put that dagger in the ground and said, I'm following the Lord and I'm identifying with the Lord and I'm identifying with these believers here and I'm breaking away from whatever religion or whatever I've been involved in. And that's a huge step. She says, I'm going to follow the Lord. And she follows the Lord. And then what do we see? Next thing we know, her kids periodically come to church. You know what? When we follow the Lord, the world will take notice. They can't help but to see the living God reflected in us as we follow him. And then the next thing, her husband periodically starts attending the church. And then she's allowed to read the Bible at home. And then, I guess we came back in July. It was August or September. I get an email. Her daughter has accepted Christ. And she's following the Lord. Jelica is following the Lord. Now, I'm not saying when we follow the Lord that our family is going to come to Christ. That's the Lord's business, and the Lord will do what he wants to do there. But what I am saying is we follow the Lord. People will take notice. They will know that there is a God. They'll see the living God reflected in us. And they'll have to respond to God. My mother, and you've heard me, probably heard me say this, I'd say is the most godliest woman, person I've ever met. And she came to Christ maybe 25 years ago. 26 years ago. And my mother said, I'm following Christ. I'm going to follow the Lord. And she, from day one, she started following the Lord. And I'm in Germany, and what I'm hearing from family is, your mom, she's going wacko. She's a freak. And that was okay with the family. But then, Tony, she's giving her money to the church. That was huge. Now she's really on the deep end. But my mom kept following the Lord. And she was saved 25-ish years ago. today, her parents are in glory in the presence of the Lord. Her parents, my grandparents, accepted Christ and now have passed into eternity, and they are with the living Lord. My mom's children, all of her children, know the Lord. All my mother's siblings, her brother and sister, know the Lord. Like I said, I'm not saying that I follow Christ and everyone's going to come to know the Lord. But I guarantee you, I follow Christ and the world will take notice. My family, my friends, the world will see this living God reflected in me. And Jesus is interested in us following him. Make followers. That's the command. Make disciples. Make followers. And now I'm going to put on my missionary hat. Jesus didn't just command make disciples in Matthew 28, but he clarifies that command. If he would have said to these 500, make disciples, guess what? They were doing that. But Jesus said, make disciples in all the nations. See, they were making disciples right there in Galilee, in Judea, primarily in Jerusalem. But the Lord didn't give them that option. He didn't give them the option just to focus right there. He said, make disciples of all the nations. And they were all commanded to make disciples of all the nations. But in what capacity or what role did they all go? Did all 500 or even the 11, did they all go? No, they didn't go. They weren't commanded to go. The command was make disciples, make followers. And actually, the 11 primarily stayed right there in Jerusalem and in Judea. They didn't go. And we see later that the Apostle Paul, Saul, comes to Christ, Paul, and we see that the 11 and the church in Jerusalem were involved in which way? They sent Paul out. They sent Silas out. They sent Barnabas out. The church in Antioch sent Paul out, sent Silas out. So the 500 were involved and were obeying the command to make disciples of all the nations. But the command wasn't to go. But they were involved in making followers of Christ. In RBC, we are commanded, this command, the exact command applies to us. Tony, RBC, make disciples of all the nations. And you know what? We are involved here. Ed, every Sunday, we're praying for missionaries. Shepherd groups are adopting missionaries and encouraging missionaries. RBC sends out missionaries. We encourage, we support, we pray. We look at our bulletin. I think it's $130,000 a month we give for missions. And we're obeying this command. And let me just say this, that I would imagine maybe some look at the bulletin and say, well, 130,000 each month for missions. That's a big chunk of money. We could probably be doing some things with that money here. It's a good thing what we are doing. It's a good thing. God has commanded us to make followers of all the nations. And we are doing a good thing. But you know, some are called to go. God calls some of us here to go. To take the gospel and make disciples in some foreign land, somewhere out there. Some of us are called to go. Some of you parents, your children are called to go. Some of you grandparents, your grandchildren are called to go. And you know, I've heard this, that you know what the greatest obstacle, this is what I've heard, the greatest obstacle for somebody not going, not taking the gospel and going to the foreign land. You know what the greatest obstacle is? Parents. Parents. Parents not releasing, not encouraging their children to go. Even I'm believing parents, parents who are believers. And you know what? I can understand that. I really can understand that. For 11 years, we were in Croatia. When we left, my oldest child was 7, my youngest was 2. And we come back, and they're 19 to 13, our 4 children. And Donna's parents and my mother, for 11 years, really did not experience the blessing of seeing their grandkids grow up before their eyes, and didn't really have a personal bodily contact of significant amount of time with their grandkids. And I understand that. But you know what? In a way, I don't understand why parents won't send their kids. I don't understand that. And there is sacrifice, but he is worthy. That's the bottom line. He is worthy. I'm going to take my missionary hat off. I'm going to put on my shepherd group pastor hat. You know what shepherd groups are all about? All about following Christ and encouraging others to follow him. That's what shepherd groups are all about right here at Reston Bible Church. And shepherd groups are small groups of, and there's probably a number of you here that are involved in a shepherd group. Small groups of us, of this body, who meet together sometime during the week or biweekly, to build a relationship with one another, to encourage one another, to minister to one another, to get in the Word together, to pray for one another, to reach out together to others. Why? Why do we do that? To encourage us to follow Christ. That's why. So that as we follow Christ, God is glorified. And that is the way that God has designed us to operate. That's the way he has designed and planned and organized his body to function. The church, his body, that's the way he's created us to function. He's created us and planned it so that you will have an impact in my life. Why? To build me up in my faith so that I will follow Christ and he will be glorified and lifted high through me. And God has organized it so that I will somehow impact, have a part in your life to build you up so that you will follow Christ and God will be glorified. That's the way he's organized it. I went to breakfast about a month ago with Chris Wilson. Chris is an elder here. He's also a shepherd group leader. And so we're having breakfast, and I'm getting to know Chris. We're getting to know each other a little bit. And Chris says, I was just at this marriage conference retreat. A weekend, Dee Dee and Chris, his wife, they went to a marriage conference weekend thing. I think Campus Crusade put it on or something. And says, yeah, we went, and he says, yeah, and we went 12 years ago. Just, it's good stuff. And I said, Chris, I said, give me one thing when you went 12 years ago. Give me one gold nugget that you walked away with. And I didn't want the whole weekend spiel, but give me that one gold nugget. I'm one of those, keep it simple. Give me that nugget, Chris. And he sits there and he says, date night. 12 years ago, Dee Dee and I started a weekly date night. And then he went on to tell me how, what they do on date night and what some of the things that they do. And I'm sitting there thinking, Donna and I, we used to have a date night, weekly date night, years ago. And we let the busyness or whatever, you know, we skipped this week. Next thing you know, we skipped 2 weeks. Next thing, we forgot all about date night. And really, not we let. I let that happen. And I'm sitting there with Chris, and I said, wow, good. That's a good gold nugget. You know what I did? I went home. I said, hey, Donna, baby, we're having date night. And we started a weekly date night. And you know what? If we and that's the way God has designed his body to work. He's designed us to work. That's the way he's planned it. And if we follow Christ, and if we invest in this command of making followers, making disciples. And by the way, it's God who makes disciples. But God chooses to use us in that process. So if we follow Christ and we invest in making disciples, we will experience the blessing of seeing God use me to impact lives. That Saturday night, Bob Shaw organized this senior high thing. There was testimonies, there was musicians and talent, and it was just a wonderful evening, and people baked things, and there was food, and there was people praying for this evening. So many people were involved. And then the senior hires were inviting their friends to come, and at the end of the night, there are 12 people who have given their life to Christ. And you know what that does to everyone involved? Boy, it's pumped up. It's exciting to say, wow, Lord, you used me to impact this life. And that when I had breakfast with Chris, the next day I wrote him an email. Chris, enjoyed breakfast. Guess what? Don and I have started date night. I'm sure he was blessed to hear that. But the truth was, the Lord spoke through Chris to bring some change in my life, which blesses my marriage, which causes me to follow Christ, which is what God wanted to bring about. That little thing. Not a little thing. But also, if we follow Christ and invest in making disciples, making followers, I guarantee something else is going to happen. We're going to have challenges and trials and you name it. Possibly fears and concerns and doubts and whatever reason, things will come up, a million different concerns and reasons why I should not be involved in making disciples. If God's calling you to take the gospel to a foreign land, he's calling your child to take the gospel to a foreign land. I've been there. I was thinking, Lord, well, what about the whole financial thing and the future and the college for my kids and retirement and health issues and separation from the family and the grandparents not seeing their grandkids and. And we can just flood our mind with concerns and reasons why not to obey God. Or if God's not calling us directly to take the gospel to a foreign land and make disciples, make followers, then he is calling us to make disciples right here where we are and to be directly involved. And I can still think of a number of reasons why I can't do that. I'm too busy. I can't go to a shepherd group. I've got my kids going to soccer here and there and school and work. I don't have time and I've got to earn a living. Or are you talking about me opening up my life and making myself vulnerable to other people and letting them get a glimpse of something in here? Or I don't even have the ability. What can I bring to the table? And we can go on and on and on and have an infinite number of reasons and concerns why I should not be involved in making disciples. And listen to what Jesus says right before and after he gives us this command. Listen to what he says. In verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." Maybe your Bible says, "All power has been given to me." Jesus says, he comes up to these 500. He comes to you and me and he says, "Tony, all authority has been given me. I am the Almighty. There's no one greater than me. I have all power." And I'm talking about all authority and all power in heaven or on earth. I am the great I am. I am the living God. I am the Almighty God. And Tony, I want you to make disciples. Make followers. And you know what? When the Almighty living God, who is the greatest, the Creator, tells me to do something, I guarantee you, he enables me to do it. He will not tell me to do something that he does not empower me or enable me to do it. And actually, it's him doing it through me. He says, "Tony, all authority has been given me. I have all power. There is no one greater in heaven or on earth, and this is what I want you to do." So any concern, any reason that can pop up in your mind, you remember, I am the great I am. I've created all of this. I've created you. I want you to do this. That should cover it. And then he ends, after he gives this call to command, he says this. In verse 20, "And lo," or maybe your Bible says, "Behold." Maybe it says "see." That word "lo," L-O. That's the second command in this passage. That's another Greek imperative, another command by the Lord. And what the word "lo" means is behold or listen. Listen closely or get a grasp on this. Behold. So the Lord is saying, "Tony, I am the great I am. There's no one greater than me. And I want you to do something. Go make disciples. And listen. Behold this. Get a grasp on this and don't let it go." What, Lord? Get a grasp on what? "I am with you always." Always. "Even until the end of the age, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never, never forsake you." Grab on to that and don't let go. Hold on to that truth. So whatever concerns, whatever reasons can pop up into the mind or in the heart as to why I can't make followers, Or, and implied in that is being a follower. God's calling me not only to make followers, but to follow Christ. And whatever things come my way or come in here or here that tells me I can't do this, the Lord says, get a hold of this, Tony, and don't let it go. I'm with you always, 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 to the end of the age. You know, that is a huge truth. It's what a promise. What a God. No matter what comes my way, I get that doctor's report that just jolts my life. Or something happens with one of my children that just jolts my life. Or all of a sudden my job situation changes. Or I'm thinking, where do I go to college? Or what? All the life things that happen that can just whack this brain and heart out and get me so out of focus. God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Always, always, always. Follow me. Follow me. Matthew 28, Jesus says this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And brothers and sisters, I guarantee you that God not only wants to use you and me to make an impact in lives for his glory. Not only does he want to use us, but he will use us. And he will be with us each step of the way. So my challenge is this. Let's fulfill his command. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our God. Truly great and wonderful you are. Thank you for being with us always, for leading us, for upholding us, for comforting us, strengthening us, for blessing us, for giving us brothers and sisters. Thank you just for being so wonderful. And it's a joy and blessing to belong to you. Lord, we want you to shine in our lives. We want you to be glorified, for you alone are worthy. In Christ's precious name, amen.